Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I really think we did some fantastic videos this past week. I think our videos in general are the best videos on the internet. But I think this week we really did some videos that again show how important it is that we spread our message to as many people as possible in Hebrew and in English. We did a video on John Kerry, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yerkav, may his name and memory be obliterated. John Kerry, who betrayed his fellow Vietnam veterans. How many Americans remember and know what John Kerry did when he came back from Vietnam? First of all, he got three Purple Hearts. He got three Purple Heart medals in Vietnam under completely false pretenses. He, in fact, didn't deserve any purple medals. He, in fact, committed criminal negligence and betrayed his soldiers and in many instances acted in a cowardly way when he was a soldier in Vietnam. He was only in Vietnam for 4 months. And he rarely saw combat duty. And yet, after he applied political pressure with his friends in the Senate and the House, his congressional friends, and other friends that he had in the United States, in the political arena, after he applied brutal political pressure on the Army, he got his three phony Purple Heart medals, which he used to eventually run for political office, to eventually become a senator from Massachusetts, and eventually he became the Democrat nominee for president in 2004. He ran against George W. Bush when George W. Bush was running for a second term in 2004. But how many people know the history and know that in fact those Purple Heart medals were, it was completely political? He did not deserve them. The whole thing was a fraud. And how many people really know, how many Americans know or remember what he did when he came back from Vietnam, when he formed a communist organization, a pro-communist organization? In my opinion, an organization that supports the communists in Vietnam is a communist organization. He formed a group called Vietnam Veterans Against the War. And this organization went to demonstrations where the Viet Cong flag was waved, where Jane Fonda was the main speaker, where the Black Panthers and the Communist Party and SDS were speaking, where American flags were burned. John Kerry spoke at mass demonstrations where the American flag was being burned and urinated upon. And the flag of America's communist enemies who are murdering and torturing American POWs and American soldiers. The flag of those communist barbarians that America was fighting against was waved all over the demonstration. And John Kerry happily spoke at these rallies and demonstrations. Rallies and demonstrations that were promoting the enemy of the United States while American soldiers were fighting and dying on the battlefield, while American POWs were being tortured. And then John Kerry, of course, made his notorious appearance before Congress, where he claimed that American soldiers had committed the worst possible war crimes, cutting people's heads off, cutting people's ears off, the worst types of war crimes, indiscriminately murdering people every single day. Lies. All lies. And this individual, this sleazy, lying, backstabbing beast who made these statements in order to gain headlines, cheap headlines from the left-wing news media, because the left-wing news media loved bashing American soldiers who were fighting against communism. This sleazy beast, John Kerry, now becomes Secretary of State and is demanding that Israel commit national suicide and is signing agreements with Iran that enable Iran to develop nuclear bombs? Shouldn't the American people be reminded that John Kerry is a traitor to the United States, that John Kerry is the lowest scum of the earth, the lowest, the most vile person possible in politics, the most evil, the most vile, the most destructive individual in politics? If we were a mass movement and we were able to reproduce, or we were able to get millions of views for our videos in English and in Hebrew, John Kerry would be in trouble, and it would be much more difficult for him to pressure Israel. Just as if we had millions of views for our videos, if we had many millions of views for our videos on Barack Hussein Obama, he may not, it's possible he, that he would not have been reelected. And as far as Hillary Clinton in 2016, if we become a mass movement, God willing, if by some miracle we become a mass movement by then, she's going to have a problem because we're going to expose her. We're going to expose the truth about her in a way which the majority of the American people would not approve of. They would not approve of the things that she did and the corruption and the scandals and the lies and the cheating and the abandonment of four Americans in Benghazi and all of the incredible, incredible dishonesty and treachery that she has been guilty of her whole life. We're going to expose these things with facts. And if instead of getting thousands of views, because our videos altogether, if you count what happens on Facebook and on YouTube and elsewhere, our videos get thousands of views. If instead of getting thousands of views, we were getting millions, oh, imagine how much trouble Hillary Clinton would be in. We would be controlling the debate against her. And the quotes from the Quran video. Let me ask you this question. Those of you who saw our video on quotes from the Quran, showing how violent the Quran is and how hateful the Quran is. If we were in power in Israel, and every Israeli Jew, because we would make it part of the curriculum in Israeli schools, and we would make every Israeli soldier watch this. If every Israeli Jew knew what it really says in the Quran, what Islam really teaches, and if every Israeli Jew could see what is actually being said about the Jewish people on Egyptian television, Jordanian television, Al Jazeera, Al Arabiya, all of the Arab media, if Jews really became aware of what the Arab media says about them, because the Arab media calls for genocide against the Jewish people continuously, all the time, calling for Israel's destruction. And this is something that the Israeli news media deliberately hides, the left-wing Israeli media hides from the people of Israel. But if the people of Israel were exposed to this, imagine every night on television seeing this, seeing what Egyptian media, Iranian media, Iraqi media, Syrian media, Jordanian media, what all of them are saying about the Jewish people, how they praise Hitler and praise the Holocaust and call for another Holocaust. Imagine if Jews were all aware of this on a constant basis, were being informed with facts, with simple facts, and we would show them. And in addition to that, became aware of what the Quran and the Muslim religion teaches about the Jewish people. Do you think that would influence the way Israeli Jews view their enemies and the way Israeli Jews view the land of Israel and the whole struggle? Of course it would. The majority of Israeli Jews would become Kahanists if they saw that. If they were exposed to that message on a regular basis, the majority of Israeli Jews would become Kahanists. No doubt about it. And even before we take power, if we were a mass movement, we'd be changing public opinion in a major way. That's why you hear me say it every week, and you've heard me say it for years, how important it is that we reach as many people as we can with the truth. The truth is so important. The truth is our greatest weapon. It is so important that we bring facts and truth, especially to the people of Israel, because Israel is a small country and it's easier for us to influence Israel. But also with our English videos, to the American people in the United States, also very important. It is really important that we reach as many people as possible. If we could only reach a really large audience on a regular basis, we'd become a mass movement, we'd be on our way to changing history. I have no doubt about that. And I think those of you in JTF know that as well. So we don't have a budget that is big enough for us to promote the videos the way other groups promote their videos and the way they get mass views because they have a budget and they pay for advertising. With our budget, we reach people, but it's limited because our budget is limited. We don't have a multi-million dollar budget. But I think our great JTFers agree with me. I think all of you agree that this is a better world when we reach more people, as many people as possible, with our message. With our message about John Kerry, with our message about Hillary Clinton, with our message about Bill Clinton, with our message about Barack Hussein Obama, with our message about Israel's survival, with our message about quotes from the Quran and the Islamic religion, with our message about issues involving the survival of the United States and the Western world, who are under attack. I think you would agree that it's important that as many people as possible see this. And because you agree, that should give you an incentive to help us. And some of our great JTFers do, but it should give more people an incentive to help. To help us spread the word and help us with our campaign. Because we do not ask for things that are very difficult to do. If you really want to help in a major way, then of course you have to devote more time. But at the very least, all of our members can favorite, like, comment, share, and mirror our videos when you see our Hebrew and English videos, and can help on our forums and our Facebook pages with good comments and good posts, good responses that make people want to join us and become involved with us. And of course, most of all, help with checks, money orders, and cash donations sent to our post office box. And of course, going to the Donate Now button for those who want to support us with their credit card online. Of course, it makes a difference. As you know, we reach more people. And that is important. It is important that more people see, in Hebrew and in English, the Israeli Jews and Americans, see what it really says in the Quran. See what John Kerry was really all about. See what Hillary Clinton is really all about. The only place where they're going to really see it is with the JTF videos and the JTF forums and the JTF Facebook pages, which, by the way, again, our Facebook pages, as we've mentioned every week, and it's increasing every single week, we're growing. Our Facebook pages have thousands of people that automatically get all of our messages on our Facebook pages. Help us, get involved with us. This is why we're in this world. We're in this world to make a difference. We're in this world to make this a better world, to be idealists, to fight for justice and truth and love and honesty and righteousness. Help us in this very important time. Help us spread the word and help us reach as many people as we can. Okay, I know you hear that from me all the time because it's so important. It is so important. It's so important for the future of the world. All right, let's get to our questions from our great JTFers, which of course I always love to do. And we start out with the great wandering samurai 81 who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, how bad is drunk driving?" Unquote. Well, it's obviously very bad because it's something that has led to the deaths of many, many thousands of people. Thousands of people every year are killed in automobile accidents. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Do you know that in Israel, More people are killed in automobile accidents than in the wars? Yes. More Israeli Jews have died in automobile accidents than in the wars. So, something like drunk driving, which is one of the major causes for automobile accidents, is a very serious issue. Very serious. And now Wandering Samurai writes, and I quote, "Also, please expose the Satan-worshipping slut, Taylor Momsen." Oh, she, unquote, she really is a Satan-worshipping slut. You know, she worships Satan. She's a young woman. I don't know how old she is. I don't know if she's a, I think she's a teenager still. I don't know how old she is. But she already sings about death. And in her video, she has pictures of cemeteries and fire and cemeteries. And she loves cemeteries and death. She's fascinated with death and cemeteries. Yeah, this is so sick. And she sings about going to hell, how much she wants to go to hell, which is something that, that's something that will happen to her. I mean, that aspiration of hers, she will achieve that. Of course, no fear. No fear of God, no morals, just pure evil. And this beast is considered to be a wonderful celebrity in Hollywood. The media, Hollywood, they consider this type of beast, this type of bestial degeneracy and decadence to be something that's, in fact, they love it. They praise her. Just disgusting. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And now we go to our friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, since Passover is coming up, why did Moses wander in the desert for 40 years? Thanks," unquote. Joe, you don't know why Moses wandered in the desert for 40 years? You don't know the answer to that? First of all, Joe, because you wrote certain things years ago, let me just correct something right now that's very important to correct. Moses was the greatest human being ever to live in terms of what Judaism and the Jewish religion teach us. Moses was the greatest human being. He gave us the Torah. He was the only prophet who received prophetic messages from God while he was awake. All the other prophets had to fall asleep and receive messages in their dreams, prophetic messages in their dreams. He led us out of the land of Egypt and defeated and humbled Pharaoh, the most powerful leader on the face of the earth, and then led us through the Sinai for 40 years. And the reason we were led through the Sinai for 40 years, and Joe, I can't believe that you have no idea why we were led through the Sinai for 40 years. The reason we were led through the Sinai for 40 years is because evil Jews did not want to go to Israel. They didn't want to go. And so God said, you are not going to go to Israel and you're going to wander for 40 years as a punishment because you didn't want to go to Israel. That's why they wandered for 40 years. That generation had to die. That's the price you pay when you defy God and when you go against God's ultimate prophet, Moses. That's the price you pay. It's a very serious price, so it's something people should take into consideration when living their lives. Thank you, Joe. And now we go to the great Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "Compare Rastafarianism and Black Islam," unquote. Well, Rastafarianism is, this is just an example of the ultimate, you know, it's an African-oriented religion. Even though it's from the island of Jamaica in the Caribbean in the 1930s, it was actually started in the 1930s in the island of Jamaica. But it's typical of the primitive African invented religions because the culture in Jamaica comes from Africa. And this is based upon, and that this crazy cult is based upon Africa. And this is typical of the insanity. The Rastafarians believe that the late Ethiopian dictator, Haile Selassie, is God incarnate. He's God. Haile Selassie is God, according to the Rastafarians. And they use marijuana as part of their spiritual service. They actually push and require their members to use marijuana. I mean, what a primitive, pathetic joke. Haile Selassie, the dictator of Ethiopia, is God. I mean, just pathetic. Pathetic. Now, you ask about Black Islam. Black Islam, if you're referring to Farrakhan, of course, they believe all whites are devils, that there's a spaceship flying over the earth, which was created by black scientists. Black scientists invent, can you imagine black scientists inventing a spaceship? I mean, where are the black scientists who really and genuinely invented things, not making up Hollywood nonsense? But where do you see this? And according to Farrakhan, there is a spaceship called the Mothership flying over the United States. The captain of the ship is the late and unlamented Elijah Muhammad, who was one of the founders and was Farrakhan, one of the leaders of the Nation of Islam and Farrakhan's predecessor in the Nation of Islam. This spaceship, the captain of the spaceship is Elijah Muhammad, and as soon as they get the signal from Allah, they're going to suck up the whole white race. So you have one African religion called Rastafarianism that says that Haile Selassie, who was the late dictator of Ethiopia, primitive Ethiopia, is God incarnate. And then you got Farrakhan, who, by the way, believes that the founders of the Nation of Islam, the white founder of the Nation of Islam, is God incarnate. I mean, just so crazy. Just completely, completely insane. And yet, again, all of these people are taken very seriously and tremendously respected. And the Rastafarians, their music, oh yes, we've got a, you know, promoted by Hollywood and promoted by all the sick, self-hating whites. Farrakhan, you know, gets meetings with Edgar Bronfman and Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes and all the Jewish leaders, and they all want to meet with him. And Joe Lieberman said, when Joe Lieberman, who was the Democrat nominee for vice president in the year 2000, said that he would invite Farrakhan to the White House. Can you imagine them saying they're going to invite Chaim ben Pesach to the White House? Can you imagine Bronfman and Mike Wallace saying they want to meet Chaim ben Pesach to discuss giving Chaim ben Pesach tens of millions of dollars, which is what they offered to give to Farrakhan? Jewish money, tens of millions of Jewish dollars to give to Farrakhan, who says that the Jews should all be exterminated in another Holocaust. And now we go to Lewinsky. Stinks now writes, and I quote, "Whatever happened to the malodorous Negro in the New York Nazi Times building?" Unquote. I have no idea what happened to him. I mean, I know that he cleared out the lobby of that building. He went into the building, and it was, oh, what a smell. It was unbearable. And he went into inside the New York Nazi Times building, which I thought was wonderful. And, you know, people were running out of the lobby of the building. They couldn't take the smell. They didn't think of kicking him out. Instead, they ran out. And Lewinsky Stinks now writes, and I quote, "Discuss Professor, quote unquote, Griff and Flavor Flav," unquote. Well, so-called Professor Griff, who is not a professor, obviously, he's just he's an affirmative action moron. Professor Griff said, "Jews are responsible for the majority of wickedness in the world." That was one of his anti-Semitic outbursts. This is, by the way, Professor Griff, for those of you who don't know, he's a so-called rapper. And he said that Jews are responsible for the majority of wickedness in the world. He's also, by the way, a member of Farrakhan's Nation of Islam. So he also believes that the white race are all devils, the white race is going to be exterminated, the Jews deserve another Holocaust, there's a mothership flying over the earth. Yeah. And yet, this piece of garbage is given contracts, makes many millions of dollars, is given fame and fortune by Hollywood and by the very Jews that he wants to exterminate. Unbelievably sick. Unbelievably sick. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, asks about the Flavor Flav, another so-called rap artist. Flavor Flav is a subhuman moron. Over the years, he's gone to prison for robbery and burglary and assaulting his girlfriend and attempted murder and cocaine and marijuana charges. He's an admitted crack addict. Did I forget anything? Did I leave anything out? So he's a crack addict who went to prison for robbery and burglary and has been arrested for assaulting his girlfriend, attempted murder, cocaine and marijuana charges. This is a real role model for the black community. Flavor Flav. Just like Professor Griff. And again, he is perfectly acceptable. He's perfectly acceptable to the Hollywood people, the news media. In fact, they worship these people. These are subhuman, single-digit IQ morons. In fact, it's an insult. I'm actually insulting morons by calling them morons. It's an insult to morons. And look at how they're promoted. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And now we go to the great Chicago Jew who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what is Karaite Judaism, unquote. Chicago Jew, it is not Judaism. It's a cult that rejects the Talmud. If you reject the Talmud, you can't read the Tanakh, the Bible. The Hebrew words in the Bible have nekudot, have vowels, that show us how to read them, because the actual, if you go to the Torah, there are no vowels there. You have to go to the Talmud to see the vowels and see how, because if you don't have vowels there, which the Talmud provides there, the meaning of the words change in Hebrew. Without the vowels, the meanings of the words change, and it doesn't read the same way. And the whole meaning of all the scriptures change drastically. And so, things that we accept now that it says in the Bible, it's only because of the Talmud that we're able to read the Bible. Without the Talmud, we could not read the original Bible in the original Hebrew. We couldn't read it. And the Karaites reject the Talmud. They once were a big movement. Because they're Jews, always Jews, they like to deform. They're always Jews that want to look for ways not to do the mitzvot, not to do the commandments, even though the commandments are such a beautiful way of life. But they're always looking, there are always going to be people who look for ways. And this group was looking for ways. So they reject the Talmud and they reject the mitzvot, or they claim the mitzvot can be interpreted the way they want to interpret it. I mean, it's a heretical sect. And they were once a big movement among the Jewish people. Now I don't know if they're probably just, a couple of thousand of them left in the whole world. Because movements like this always assimilate and disappear. It is not a Jewish movement. Just like the Reform, Conservative, and Reconstructed are not Jewish movements. It's not Judaism. Anyone who rejects the Torah as the divine word of God and doesn't believe in Torah is rejecting Judaism. Judaism is the Torah and the Tanakh, the Bible, and the Talmud. Anyone who rejects these things is rejecting the Jewish faith. Thank you so much, Chicago Jew. And now we go to our great friend Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, VP Biden came to Philadelphia's 30th Street station to discuss improving rail service. America's rail infrastructure is old and deteriorating, while in Europe and Israel everything is new and new lines are being built all the time. Why is America behind other first world countries? Is it because too much is wasted on affirmative action, unquote? Oh, obviously, that's affirmative action has something to do with all of the problems in America. Affirmative action contributes to all of America's problems. Of course, I would love to see the most advanced rail system imaginable in America, because the more people that use trains, the fewer that use cars, it's less energy. You're using less energy. And if we consume less energy, that's less money for the Muslim Nazi enemies, for Iran and Saudi Arabia and all the Muslim Nazi countries. So, you know, I'd love to see a much more advanced rail system. What's the answer? How do we see this come about? You have to create incentives to want to build this type of system and to promote this type of system. There have to be tax incentives. We should have tax incentives that are aimed at doing whatever helps America eliminate any dependence on foreign oil. That should be a part of the tax structure. And improving and strengthening America's rail infrastructure should be part of that program. Thank you, Binyamin Yisrael, because it's a national security issue. And now we go to the great Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "What are your thoughts on Islamic studies professor John Esposito? In his book World Religions Today, he writes that both men and women are equal before Allah and Islam. And before Allah, and Islam was the first religion to grant inheritance rights to women. But in Judaism, according to what is written in that book, women were equal to slaves and treated as property, while Hinduism is considered it a bad karma to be born as women because they had lower status than their sons," unquote. The fact is that no religion respects women and honors women as much as Judaism. No religion does. And we see Jewish women are not oppressed in the Jewish household. In many Jewish households, the woman is the boss. Jewish women are not oppressed at all. I mean, they even have a reputation for telling their husbands what to do. And they have tremendous influence on their husbands and on family life. Tremendous influence. And we see it from because the Jewish religion honors and elevates and celebrates the greatness of Jewish women. Islam, on the other hand, cuts the clitorises off of 6-year-old girls. Almost all the girls in Egypt get their clitorises cut off without anesthesia. Islam permits men to rape women under many different types of circumstances. Islam permits husbands to beat and even murder their wives. If their wife disobeys, they can be beaten or they can even be murdered. The husband has a right to do it. Islam treats women in the worst way of any religion on the face of the earth. It is a religion that hates women, that detests women, and that turns them either into cattle or into corpses. That's what Islam is. It's the ultimate nightmare for women. And this animal, John Esposito, who promotes Islam because he was bought off by Prince Al-Walid. Prince Al-Walid is the Saudi prince who sponsors John Esposito and who sponsors these types of creatures that praise Islam. Prince Al-Walid, by the way, is the Saudi prince who said that America got what it deserved on 9/11. That it was America's fault that 9/11 happened. He justified 9/11. Anyway, he bought off John Esposito, and he buys other people off as well. He's also bought into Fox News. He's the second biggest investor in News Corp, which owns Fox News and owns the Wall Street Journal and owns the New York Post. So he puts his Muslim Nazi influence wherever he can, and he's bought off so-called professors like John Esposito, who have no integrity and no intellectual honesty and no academic integrity, are just whores who go for the money, and he buys them off. And they write what he wants them to write to whatever's pleasing for him. Thank you, Smash Islam. And by the way, John Esposito, again, just to make it clear, John Esposito, this professor you're speaking about, he writes for the Prince Al-Walid Institute of something, or Prince Al-Walid, you know, but it's Prince Al-Walid who has bought him off. And Georgetown University, he teaches in Georgetown University. What a joke, Georgetown University. The most leftist, evil scum come out of Georgetown University. Thank you, Smash Islam. And now we go to our friend DGR81, who writes, and I quote, "Hello, Chaim. You mentioned that you knew of anti-Semitic people, things, or events in Armenia. Can you expand on that statement?" I'll try to remember. I'll try to remember as best I can. Yes, I'll give you an example. There's an Armenian TV station, a big Armenian TV station called ALM, owned by Tigran Karapetian. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right or if I'm remembering the name right, but I think it was Tigran Karapetian or something like that. And he owns this TV station, and he goes on his TV station and accuses the Jews of seeking to control Armenia and the whole world. The Jews want to take over the whole world again, which is the Hitlerian big lie. That's the owner of a major TV station in Armenia. So I would say that's a huge example of anti-Semitism. In addition to that, the Armenian Government Religious Affairs and Minority Affairs Director, in other words, a major government official, I don't remember what his name was, but a major government official, he attacked and slandered the Talmud and the Jewish faith. And, you know, the attacks, there are probably maybe 1,000 Jews in Armenia. I mean, there are very few Jews live in Armenia. But there is a Holocaust memorial there. I'm talking about not for the Armenian Holocaust, but for the Holocaust against the 6 million Jews. And the Holocaust memorial was desecrated on Rosh Hashanah. They desecrated the Jewish Holocaust memorial in Armenia. So I've just given you three examples. A big TV station, the owner going on and making Hitlerian type remarks about how the Jews want to conquer the world, trying to take over the whole world. And the Armenian Government Religious Affairs Director attacking and slandering the Talmud and the Jewish faith. And the desecration of the Holocaust memorial. This was several years ago on Rosh Hashanah. Those are three examples that I could think of, and there probably are other examples, but that's what I remember right now. Thank you, DGR81. And now we go to the great Mishmat, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim. Would Kahana's Gentiles end Black Mythology Month and rescind MLK Day?" Unquote. Oh, of course. That would be one of the first things they would do. You know, so-called Black History Month. What a joke. The so-called history that they recite, it is mythology. It's all fairy tales. All baloney. All baloney. And Martin Luther King Day? He is the only person who gets a day all to himself on the calendar. We used to have Lincoln's birthday, Washington's birthday, but they combined it all into President's Day. And President's Day is just a day for sales. You just go to the supermarket and actually the department store sales mainly. It's a day where there are big sales on President's Day. They would never put ads in having sales on Martin Luther King Day. That's a sacred day. That's sacred. Just pathetic. Just pathetic. And now Mishmat writes, and I quote, "May you expound on your theory of Negro worship in the U.S., unquote. Yes, absolutely. For decades now, the United States worships black people. Worships. You're not allowed to have any bad black character in any Hollywood movie, on any TV show. Black characters are always noble and intelligent, and they're the cool people, and they're the ones that save the day. They're the professors, and they're the doctors, and they're the scientists. And it's all, I mean, it's all the opposite of what we see in the real world. You're not allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to say the word nigger. You have to say the N-word. You can say kike, and you can say wop, and you can say mick, and you can say pollock, and spick, and any other ethnic slur that they allow you to say. That's all right. But nigger, you're not allowed to say. It has to be the N-word. Because they're so sacred, these people. They're so, how dare you? You can't even say the word. Even if you're quoting somebody. Even if you support them and you're quoting somebody, you have to say the N-word. You're not even allowed to utter the word nigger. But the terms, the same types of terms, nobody says the K-word for kike. Nobody says the G word for guinea. Nobody says the M word for mick, or the L word for limey, or the C word for chink. Nobody says that. All of these terms, people, when you're quoting somebody, of course, people shouldn't use those types of terms. But when you're quoting somebody, those terms those are terms that you can use when you're quoting, just to quote somebody and say, hey, you know, this person, it's terrible what he said. He used the word kike. He's an anti-Semite. But with blacks, with the word nigger, you're not allowed to say that. Even if you're quoting somebody and saying, this, what a racist, he said the word, he said the N-word. You can't say he said nigger. What is this? What the hell is this? What is this, some special elevated people? They have the worst history of any group of people in the United States, and they get this type of elevated status? Are you kidding? It's unbelievable. Thank you, Mishmat. And now we go to Daniel. Daniel, we haven't seen you for a while. Good to see you back on the forum. And Daniel writes, and I quote, even though you're usually just here basically to ask questions. Right now, I don't think you like us anymore. So you're usually here to ask questions that are hostile, but that's okay. You know, we accept people who disagree with us on the forum. Daniel writes, and I quote: "What's the difference between weather and climate?" Okay. You want me to answer that as a scientist? I'm not a scientist. I'm not a scientist, but my understanding is that climate represents the average weather conditions. The average weather conditions in an area. Whereas weather is the condition of the atmosphere at a specific time and place. So just to make that clear, the climate in Florida is tropical, warm, humid, tropical. Whereas the weather in Florida, today it's raining, or today it's sunny, or today it's cold. Specific time and place, specific is the weather, and climate is just the general average. That's my understanding. Thank you, Daniel. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "I've been noticing many Jews get bent out of shape when they see white neo-Nazis, but hardly a peep with the one in the White House. Your thoughts?" Unquote. Yes, I certainly agree. I absolutely I certainly absolutely agree with you. I just want to say, by the way, that I don't think Jews get bent out of shape enough when it comes to white neo-Nazis. Of course, we should be against white Nazis as well. And I don't think Jews get bent out of shape nearly enough, even with white Nazis. I mean, the Jewish media outlets and Jewish sites like YouTube allow the Nazi David Duke to spout his Hitlerism, and Pat Buchanan, the other Nazi. So, you know, I think Pat Buchanan, the other Nazi, as you know, he's on television. He's a television co-host, and he's a guest all over the place. So I don't think the Jews, even with white Nazis, I don't think they take it seriously enough. Jews never stand up for their rights and their honor. They just don't do that. And that's what we have to change. It's one of the things we have to change. Now, you ask about how Jews are against white Nazis, but not against the one in the White House. I certainly agree with you completely. Barack Hussein Obama wants Israel to be destroyed. He supports his Muslim brothers, and he'd love to see them defeat Israel and destroy Israel, which would mean genocide against the Jews in Israel. He supports genocide. He is a protagonist for genocide and for the new Holocaust. He is someone who backs the Arab Muslim Nazis that want to perpetrate a new Holocaust. And the fact that Jews, that doesn't bother most Jews, and most Jews in America, at least. In Israel, most Jews hate Obama. But in America, most Jews vote for Obama. That's a terrible, terrible disgrace and a terrible example of how insane American Jews are. Most American Jews. Thank you, Dr. Dan. Great points. And now we go to the great EB22. EB22 writes, and I quote, "Do you think that John Kerry will seek the Democrat nomination for president in 2016? Would Kerry be an even greater disaster than Hillary Clinton?" Unquote. Well, I think they would both be absolutely horrific, obviously. Kerry might be even slightly worse even than Clinton, because Kerry's father was Cohen. His father, originally the father's the family name was Cohen. And so he has an obsession, like many of these assimilated, you know, Jews, the people that came that have some Jewish background and want to eliminate that background as much as possible. He's obsessed with destroying Israel and with burying the Jewish people. So in some respects, he would be even worse. Do I think he'll run for the nomination? I think he would love to. I think he would love to find some way to do it. Whether or not he'll do it, I don't know. I don't know. Right now, Hillary Clinton looks like the prohibitive favorite. But whether or not he would actually decide, would he challenge Hillary? I have my doubts. If Hillary doesn't run, though, I think that there's a good chance that John Kerry will run. Yes. And he may run in any event. Who knows? I think his dream in life has always been to become president, God forbid. And, you know, he's at a point in his life, age-wise, where he has to pretty much do it in 2016 or he can't do it anymore. So he may do it. It's possible. Thank you, EB22. And now we go to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, "Torah scholars told me that Obama is encoded in Torah attacking Jerusalem. Not enough resistance to Obama," unquote. Well, Obama, I don't know if you mean militarily, but Obama he's already attacking Jerusalem. He's trying to get Israel to surrender Jerusalem. He and John Kerry are brutally pressuring Israel to give up Jerusalem. So I consider that to be a terrible attack on Jerusalem. And I agree with you, there's not enough resistance to Obama. That's for sure. LKZ now writes, and I quote, "Can America survive? Can Cruz fix it?" Unquote. I don't know. I think that if America really followed someone like Ted Cruz and really changed, if America changed its ways and decided to turn to God, obviously America could survive. and America would survive. But will that happen? That's a different question. That's an entirely different question. We're fighting an uphill battle, LKZ. We're fighting an uphill battle when it comes to America's survival. Because, I mean, you see a country that twice elected Barack Hussein Obama, that's a country that is on a road to self-destruction. We'd like to turn the tide, we'd like to change that situation, but it's an uphill battle. Thank you, LKZ. And now we go to our friend Russian Leo 777, who writes, and I quote, "Please discuss Debo Adigbili, who was, I don't know how to pronounce these African, pseudo-African names, who was Mumia Abu Jamal's attorney as Obama's nominee to head the Justice Civil Rights Division." Okay, now I know who you're talking about here. I didn't know Mumia Abu Jamal's attorney. Mumia Abu Jamal, by the way, for those who are not aware, is someone who murdered a police officer in cold blood. And he's been on death row for many years, and he murdered a police officer in cold blood in Pennsylvania. And his attorney has been nominated to head the Justice Department Civil Rights Division. Can you believe this? We have Eric Holder, another racist and anti-Semite. He's the Attorney General of the United States. The President of the United States is an anti-Semite and a racist. So, not much of a surprise that Mumia Abu Jamal's attorney would be in charge of so-called civil rights in the Justice Department, an extremely important office that harasses and attacks people legally in order to promote black supremacy. Because that's basically what Eric Holder's Justice Department is. A black supremacist organization. It's just an unbelievable farce. Thank you, Russian Leo. And we now go to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, should Israel complain or celebrate the fact that Jews were forced out of Muslim countries in 1948 and had to go to Israel?" Unquote. Oh, Israel absolutely should celebrate the fact that our wonderful brothers and sisters from Muslim lands went to Eretz Yisrael. That's something we should definitely celebrate. But Israel should bring up, and so that we know at least the facts, should bring up and say, "Hey, you threw these people out. A million Jews were thrown out of their homes. They lost at least $100 billion worth of property. I mean, the property's worth at least $100 billion." By today's standard, the property that was taken and stolen from the Jews who had to flee Arab countries in order not to be slaughtered when Israel was created in 1948. And then given no compensation or given very little compensation for their property and not allowed to take their assets with them in most cases. It was a horrible, horrible nightmare, and that Israel should constantly remind the world of the crime that was committed against our Jewish brothers and sisters from Muslim countries. Thank you, Maimonides. And we now go to the great Irish Zionist. Irish Zionist is the greatest. Absolutely fantastic. Irish Zionist now writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, are you in favor or against Jewish law being banned outside of Israel? Explain why. Thanks." In favor or against Jewish law being banned, I'm not sure I understand what you mean by Jewish law being banned outside of Israel. I'm not sure exactly what you mean. You mean like kosher slaughter and things of that nature? I'm not in favor of it being banned outside of Israel. I'm not in favor of it being banned. Even though Jews should live in Israel. They should live in Israel, but it's obviously unjust to pass laws banning kosher slaughter, for instance. Although there is an argument, Irish Zionists, there is an argument to be made that if this is done and Jews are under attack like this in countries, in European countries, for instance, that this will encourage the Jews to go to Israel. So, you know something? I'm torn. I'm torn in two different directions with this. On one side of the coin, it's good that Jews are being forced outside of these countries and forced to go to Israel. On the other hand, obviously it's a complete injustice. So, I don't know, I'm torn by the issue. But it proves that the place for every Jew is in the land of Israel. That's one thing that it clearly proves. The fact that there are so many anti-Semitic laws being passed in Western countries. These are Western, well-educated countries passing laws against Jews. It shows the anti-Semitism has never really changed. Thank you very much, Irish Zionist, and I want to thank all of our members for another great show that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.